You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 19th of December, coming to you from Houston? Jazz get hit by a three-point barrage and a rocket explosion. We'll break down what happened. Look deeper into that game. Why didn't Donovan get the minutes he's been getting? And a time travel Tuesday. All coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you are well. After the ball game last night, we got on the plane. Oh, this is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast about the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, and a little behind the curtains. And here's your behind the curtains. Last night after the game, we got on the plane. We drove to the airport. When we got to the airport, we were informed that due to fog, things were delayed in the spacing in the planes, I guess. And we were going to have to sit there for 3 hours. So that was not an option. We turned around, drove back to our hotel, sat around the lobby, ate Domino's pizza, and watched the Lakers and the Warriors. And when Lonzo Ball got switched on to Kevin Durant, you could hear the players, oh, you don't want that, you don't want that, you don't want that. And then all of a sudden Durant hits the shot and the guys are going nuts. It's pretty fun to watch NBA players watch NBA basketball. They love it. I mean, I think everybody but two guys on the roster were down there watching and fired up about the ballgame. So pretty kind of, you know, whatever. That was fun, the driving. And then now I'm kind of jamming the show in today as we're about to jump back on the plane and head to Oklahoma City. So let's get to it. Today's show is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South. They did the coolest thing. They made the mudslide cookie the David Locke special. You know, come on. My ego's not small. It's not like I'm not going to love that. Let's be honest. Like, I fully love that. I thought that was really, really cool. So yeah, you now can go get the mudslide cookie, my favorite mudslide cookie. You can get it as the David Locke special. They have great prime rib, in right now in special orders. They've got V's chocolates, Western nut gifts, fruit baskets. I was there the other day, picked up a bunch of stuff and had a 6200 South 20th East. It's also brought to you by Slow the Flow and slowtheflow.org. Help out the water situation in Utah by going to slowtheflow.org and finding out what little things you can do. All right, let's do our regular run through the ball game. Jazz led by 9-8 on a Tabo Cephalosha 3 early in the fourth quarter and lost by 21. Incredible. I mean, the Rockets are on a different planet right now. They have won 14 straight. They are 25-4. It felt every bit like playing the Warriors of 3 years ago. You're right with them. You're right with them. You're right with them. And then pow. And it wasn't Chris Paul and it wasn't James Harden per se. It was a barrage that started and hit with Eric Gordon. And that really, when you get down to what the Jazz wanted to do last night, kind of was what the Jazz wanted to do. They wanted to see if they could get the ball out of the hands of Harden and Chris Paul and see what these guys and what would happen. So Cephalosha hits a three at 9:49 left to make it 91-83. Gordon hits a 30-foot three. That's a signature of the Rockets, is that they play deeper than the arc. I talked to Mike D'Antoni about it before the game. He says, Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson can back up as far as they want. It creates better spacing. Someone tweeted me last night, should we add do we need to go to a four-point play or move the line back? Actually, I think it's really interesting. You keep it as three, and then you let these guys back up as far as they want and see what it does for their spacing. Rodney's tried it a few times, having seen Donovan do it. He hasn't made it yet, I don't think. I think his have all been short. Eric Gordon, so that Rodney misses a three. Eric Gordon comes down, it's another three. Quinn takes a quick timeout. Remember, we always talk about how the timeout's going to change everything? Well, the timeout changed nothing. Joe Johnson misses a 10-footer. Eric Gordon hits a 26-foot three. So three straight possessions, Eric Gordon threes, and you just went from up 91-83 to down 92-91. Donovan misses a pull-up three, which wasn't a great shot. Capella gets a bucket and a foul and makes the free throw. In four possessions, they have now scored 12 points. Jarebko misses. Trevor Ariza misses, so they don't score on that possession. So they're now at 12 points in five possessions. Quinn calls another timeout, trying to see if he can stem this. Rubio hits a three. Eric Gordon hits a bank shot. They're now at 14 points in six possessions. Gordon misses the chance for a three-point play. James Harden misses a tough mid-range shot. Joe Ingles makes it a four-point game. You think we still got a chance. And then Kitty, whatever, bar the door. Capella scores. Rubio turns it over. Tucker scores. On a three-point play, Eric Gordon hits another three. And now all of a sudden you're down 12. And then Eric Gordon hits another three, and you're down 15. Incredible. That's what they do. That's what they are. That is their onslaught. We talked about it on Locked On NBA with Ben DeBose of Locked On Rockets. The amazing Bulls teams would do it for 5 minutes defensively. The Warriors kind of did it both. This team is doing it with that three-point barrage. Now, they're not as good as these other great teams. Their differential is, but those other great teams were top three in the league, both offensively and defensively, and this team is not that. But that offense is real. And was pretty unstoppable when it got going. I thought the Jazz played a great game. Without Favors, without Gobert, Udo gave him 27 solid minutes again. Jarebko is having a hard time as the center. Eventually, I actually think he'll get comfortable with it. There's some things to like. The entire second quarter of the game we'll talk about in the second segment. I thought that was a really interesting aspect of the strategy and how the game played. So let's get to some of the numbers. The Rockets' offensive rating last night was a 130. The Rockets can skew a lot of numbers. We've decided that Favors and Gobert together don't work anymore because they got outscored 27-10 while they were on the floor against the Rockets. I think there's a legitimate argument that Favors and Gobert's time together might, be limited. I don't know what the right way to phrase that is. I mean, we've seen that they're only playing 6 to 7 minutes together. And so that can make some. My point is the Rockets can make anything look bad. Jazz offense was fine. It was a 108. The defense just couldn't get any stops. The disappointing thing last night was that the Jazz had a bad defensive rebounding game against a team that doesn't offensive rebound a lot. The Jazz allowed 31% of misses by the Rockets to be garnered by the Rockets. You cannot afford to give them extra opportunities. That'll come back to bite you. Otherwise, effective field goal percentage, the Rockets were at 63% last night, and they went to the line 27 times to R8, which felt a little skewed. But they're rolling. Looking over at our player tracking, Jazz shot the ball okay, 23 of 51 on uncontested shots. Rodney Hood was 5 of 10. Rubio was 3 of 8. Mitchell, 2 of 5, Joe, 5 of 10. Rockets on uncontested looks, 57 of them. They hit 26. Eric Gordon, 8 of 14. Chris Paul, 5 of 12. James Harden, 5 of 15. James Harden last night, playing with that kind of knee bruise, and he shot below 40%. The Rockets are 16-0 if he shoots over 40%. So in a lot of ways, the Jazz did all the things that you would want them to do to win that game and still got hit by that barrage. That's kind of the awesome, frankly, part of what jumped out to me. I mean, that team is on it. Hustle notes last night. Donovan Mitchell had 4 deflections. Jerebko had 3 deflections. Joe Ingles had 3 deflections. Rubio and Hood had 2. Screen assists last night. Epe Udo had 6. He really sets good screens. 10 contests from Rubio. 7 contests from Udo. 9 from Ingles. 7 from Joe Johnson. 7 from Cephalosha. The Rockets are good. Clint Capella contested 20 shots last night. So I thought that, you know what, and we'll get into it in the next segment. I'll talk about how I really think. I thought they played well. And I just do think they're not quite the Warriors because they don't have that defensive component where they're, you know, that Warrior team was so incredible in the sense that they had both the best defense and the best offense in the league. And I think if you start to think about the fact that James Harden is probably one of the 5 greatest offensive players of all time, and if you view him in that manner, then maybe understanding how good the Rockets are is an easier thing to do, if that makes any sense. Because I think that's important. As the holidays get closer, the store at 6200 South and 20th East is the spot for you to get all of the things you need. Prime Rib is in right now. They're taking their Prime Rib orders. They do it so well. Jeff and Scott have searched across to make sure that they have the single best products around. And they have these amazing prime rib special orders. And then they got the various gift packages, the V's chocolates, the Western nut gifts, the fruit baskets made fresh daily. My wife would tell you that no matter what you're celebrating, you need to get the chips. The chips are a great story. The chips, the story is, I think it was Jeff went to a wedding. And at the wedding, somebody had these incredible chips, so he started asking around who made them and then talked to the woman and said, basically, hey, if you can make these as a we'll put them in the store. And they've become a bigger and bigger and bigger deal. I just love the place. It's got a great vibe to you. It's got that family feel. Whether you're grabbing your cold brew off the new cold brew stand, you're getting your kombucha that you're going to take with you, make your own peanut butter, all the nice custom. I will say the other one that's awesome is the orange juice. Every single time I go in, I am totally, totally guilty of going and grabbing the every time having an orange juice when I go in there. It's just that good. I can't help myself. Back in the back, the barbecue chicken is terrific. Their pre-marinated meats have been a standard at our house now for the last little while. So make sure you check it out. The store, 6200 South, 20th East. They've got all your holiday needs. Tell them that you are from Locked On Jazz. See what they'll do nice things for you. I'm telling you, they will. I kind of promise. We're actually going to debut, I think, a Locked On Jazz special for after January 1st. We kind of mean to be getting on it having that for you as a nice service for the listener. So check it out. 6200 South, 20th East, the store for all your holiday needs. All right, I thought the Jazz were really good last night. The game plan last night was interesting. So they usually will do against the Rockets is drop Gobert on the pick and roll, Harden's coming at Gobert. The defensive player's now playing kind of behind Harden or on his side or trying to get back in front of him. While Gobert's kind of staying with Harden and staying equal to the role of Capella, the three other guys are holding on the outside shooters. It's caused the Rockets relative difficulty, right? Nothing really causes the Rockets difficulty, but it's caused the Rockets some difficulty. With last night, you can't do that because you don't go bear anymore. So instead, the Jazz were playing up on the pick and roll, and at times, prior to the pick and roll, trapping or kind of soft, I don't know if trapping's the right word, but sending two guys to Harden and Chris Paul to get the ball out of their hands. In the first half, they were able to get James Harden going right almost all the time, and then I don't know if the Rockets changed their angles or did something, but Harden got going left almost all the time in the second half. You'd far rather him going right, and he has a tendency to give the ball up more going right. But early in the game, this was such an enormous adjustment without any practice that the Jazz got beat for a bunch of dunks early. Then they adjusted and kind of figured it out, and I thought we're really doing it well. You had Harden, you know, you've got to stop Harden. You've got to slow him down. If he shoots over 40%, they're 16-0. And so I thought the Jazz did a really nice job of that. And then the next part of it is that you had to try to see if you could get somebody else to beat you. And they did. Eric Gordon beat you. Trevor Ariza went 5-9. But when their fourth and fifth offensive options are one, that good, and two, having that kind of game, I don't know what you do. I think you lose. But Chris Paul never got in his major rhythm. He was still a rebound off a triple-double, 18 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. Capella had 20 boards last night. They only played 7 guys, and Ryan Anderson only played 19 minutes. Tariq Black played 3 minutes as the 8th guy, so they really only played 7 guys. With Nene out, and they don't like their bench. But I thought that really the Jazz did a nice job. The third quarter was really interesting. The third quarter, when Capella checked out and Udo checked out, became 5 out on both sides. So Anderson was playing at center for the Rockets, and Jarebko was playing center for the Jazz. 5 out, meaning that each team had all 5 guys outside of the 3-point line. And then what you had was the Jazz had all their guys. The Jazz would actually keep the ball outside the 3-point line and have back cutters to the rim, and the Jazz were beating the Rockets, who were trying to deny the 3. The Jazz last night only got 27% of their shots as 3-point shots, or 27 3-point shots last night. So only 27 and 91 of their shots were 3-point shots, and the 3-point shots largely, they only hit 29.6% last night. So the Rockets really denied that. Hood went 5 of 10. Everybody else went 3 of 17. Joe Johnson does not have that stroke yet. I think Joe's 2 of 24 for the season. And the other end was the Rockets penetrating into the lane, then kicking out and back out to threes. It was pretty interesting basketball to watch. And it's kind of where we're going. Very European. Showed the Jazz could play 5 out in a way that we haven't seen, and I thought they made the reads pretty well and did a nice job. Rodney was very good last night. He had 26, 10 of 8, sweet spot 3, straight down the barrel, man. That is his shot. And I thought, even on the misses, an aggressive drive to the basket didn't get a few whistles that I thought he probably deserved. I thought he had a really nice mix last night of kind of aggressive as well as that outside shot. And then, you know, the paint non-restricted area is not a particularly good shot for people, but it's kind of the shot that tells you whether or not Rodney's going or not. And last night, I think he was 4 of 5 in that range. That's the key to his game. He's really playing well offensively. And continues to just be night in, night out consistent. Donovan only played 21 last night. Three thoughts on it. Two of them are interrelated. One is everybody else was playing pretty well. Rubio had a really good night. Ingles had a really good night. Played 38 minutes, which is a lot. Hood had a really good night. Who's he coming in for? Right? So that's That's the one thing I'm not sure. You know, Joe Johnson is out. As long as Joe Johnson's out there, I think he's got to close games. He's kind of your settling force. And I think that that's, you know, so, and then you're playing a center of some sort. So I don't know, you know, so you had to take out last night. Rubio's not finished a bunch of games. That's what's been happening most often. But last night, I'm not sure that was the right move. The other one is, I don't think Donovan did anything wrong. I loved his defense. He had four steals last night. Really anticipated passing lanes well, understood what the Rockets were doing. Very smart game. I didn't think he was moving great. That's the only thing. And I've seen this a few times where I've just got to assume he's getting tired at times. There have been days of shoot around where I've seen him. The only other one I would add, though, is if you recall, and I'll have to go find when this was, in the Cleveland game late, he drives to the basket and came up gimpy. And I don't know what it is, actually, and I probably won't ask him, so I probably will never find out. But those are the kind of nicks that you get throughout an NBA season in which, as I think, you have to learn how to get through. And, you know, they bother you, and you're not as good. And I think there's a chance that he's got a little nick just from kind of watching him last night. I didn't think he had his bounce. Good defensive reads, though. Really smart. Good game. I thought the other guys was probably really the main thing, I think, is the other guys just were playing well. Hey, in the past 20 years, Utah weather has been streaky shooter. Some years it's a splash. Others, it's very little. And when you combine Utah's streaky shooting and dry summers, you get very serious water worry. Last year, we pretty much had the Houston Rockets offensive barrage for snow. This year, not so much. Which is why you need to do something to help us with Slow the Flow. Even in the winter, you can do something. Slowtheflow.org has plenty of ways you can conserve water in your home, like shortening your shower time. The numbers don't lie. If you showered just 1 minute less every day, you'd save 1,875 gallons every year. That one's getting me right there, by the way. That one's got me to alter my behavior. If you shower one less minute every day, you save 1,875 gallons of water each year. Even better, if you switch to an ultra-low flow shower head, you save as much as 2.5 gallons. You're a big Utah fan, right? So do it a favor. Head to slowtheflow.org and find out ways that you can save water. It's something we all can do. Slow the flow. Save H2O. Okay, let's do our Time Machine Tuesday. Go back in. I brought my little list of years. Let's pull it out. Here we go. Ooh, 1985-86. That's fun. Let's see what we have. December 19th, Jazz are probably on a road trip. Remember, the Jazz used to do a road trip every year. 85-86, Frank Layden is still the head coach. Let's go look on our play-by-play and see December 19th. The Jazz were off today. They had played the night before. Ooh, thank goodness we weren't in the midst of talk radio. The 15 and 11 Jazz went on the road, beat the Washington Bullets 106-98 on the 17th, won by five. To win our third in a row, people were excited. The Jazz would lose the next night on the 18th, which would be the first of a five-game losing streak into Christmas. Let's go look at that game. Playing the old-school New Jersey Nets, the Jazz got blown out 113-98. Jazz starting lineup that night was John Stockton, Bobby Hansen, Adrian Dantley, Karl Malone, and Mark Eaton. Oh, my gosh. Time Machine Tuesday on a back end of a back-to-back, but these guys never did this. Coming off the bench, y'all get to it in a second. Thurl Bailey, Ricky Green, Kerry Scurry, Steve Hawes, or Hayes, and Fred Roberts. John Stockton played 19 minutes that night, went 0-for-3 from the field. Karl Malone played 23 minutes, went 0-for-10 from the field. So back end of a back-to-back in New Jersey, and the statues combined to go 0-for-13. The Jazz shot 2 3-pointers that night. They went 0-for-2. What was wrong with everyone? Why could they not figure this out? What was that? I was 15, 16 years old at this point, following this team. The New Jersey Nets starting lineup that night was Michael Ray Richardson. Boy, was he good when he wasn't on drugs. 21 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists. Albert King, the brother of Bernard. Otis Birdsong, he played 46 minutes. He was great when he was in Kansas City. Buck Williams, Mike Jaminski. Their bench was Mickey Johnson, Daryl Dawkins, Kevin Ranzi, and Mike O'Korn. Haven't heard a lot of those guys. Daryl Dawkins had 18 that night. So Michael Ray Richardson just put it on Stockton. Ricky Green came off the bench to have 24 in 29 minutes. Thurl Bailey came off the bench to have 12 points. Time Machine Tuesdays, awesome. Jazz were down 7 at the end of the one. They got it back to 7. They stayed at 7 and a half. They got blown out in the third and were down 19 heading to the fourth quarter. Fast game, 101 possessions a game. Frank Layden was not happy after this one. The great Jake O'Donnell officiated this game. And that's probably it. The Jazz would then, the next game out, I'm just kind of curious to see how they bounce back. The Jazz would go to play the Philadelphia 76ers and lose 112-105. Stockton went 3 of 10 with 17 assists the next time out and 6 steals. Malone went 8 of 12 with 19 points. Adrian Dantley was still the go-to guy. Thurl came off the bench for a great game. That 76er team was that seven was, wow, listen to this roster. Mo Cheeks, Bobby Jones, Julius Erving, Charles Barkley, and Moses Malone. Oh, my gosh. Leon Wood, the official, was playing for the 76ers that year. Moses had 37 and 16 in the Jazz next game loss. Jazz scored 37 in the first quarter, were down 1, down 3 at the half, then made it to a 1-point game and only scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. Jazz were 1 of 1 from 3 that night. Bobby Hansen hit one. 76ers were 0 of 2. What a different game, and we couldn't do math. That is Time Travel Tuesday. That is Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much to the store. Thanks very much to Slow the Flow. Have a great day. Hope you're well. Appreciate you tuning into the Locked On Jazz. Locked On NBA. Biggest stories, local experts, and then we're hoping to have Kevin Pelton on this week as well. And big night in the NBA last night. Locked On Nuggets, Locked On Thunder should be really interesting. Locked On Blazers, Locked On Wolves should be really interesting. Locked On Pacers, Locked On Celtics should be interesting. Wild, wild night in the NBA last night. This has been Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.